Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filial, here with my co-host. I can't come up with a witty comment, so Antoine Bergeron.
Yes! Finally! Hi, Paul.
I'll have to start planning those in advance, I guess. In my old age, I can't be as spontaneous as I once was, it seems.
That's fine like that.
Well, I happen to like giving you adjectives. Don't ruin my fun.
Okay.
So how are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing fine.
That's very convincing.
I'm personally fine. It was a complicated day, family-wise.
Sorry to hear that. I hope everything's going okay now.
Yeah, everything is back to good.
Back to status quo?
Yeah. And you?
I can't complain. My daughter, trying to kill me emotionally.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, late bedtime conversation. Hey, Daddy, let's talk about your dead father. Yep. Always fun. And I'm going to get to go through it again when my son gets a bit older.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Part of life. So, yeah, hobby. enough of that morbid real life stuff. Actually, let me get that thing we have, that the notes, see if... opening chat is what we're doing, so that's excellent. Okay, we're on track. I'm working on something different this week, so people will be shocked and amazed I'm not working on a Guild Ball model, because I can't do it anymore. I need to have a little break. I finished the model I was working on last week, Anvil, for the blacksmith team. And then now I'm working on a figure for Judgment, which is a 54mm miniature game that we tried. We'll actually talk a bit more about that later. I'm working on, I think his name's like Don Rekar.
Something like that.
It's a giant minotaur shaman. He is awesome looking. The sculpt is excellent. The cast is also quite good. I have, of course, as always when painting, I found a couple places I should have cleaned up beforehand that missed. That's typical for me.
Yeah.
But he'll be fine. He'll be fine. He will slay the enemies, enemies on the table all the same. No complaints there. Right now I'm just trying to define his overly muscled form by adding some depth to the shadows. Am I pretending I know what I'm doing? Then I'll add some highlights after this with something that I hear is called glazes.
You're doing that. You?
Yeah.
What have you done with Paul?
Yeah, I know. Well, so these models are fairly, exotic here because there's really no place to buy them. The only place you can really get them from in North America is Discount Games. There's a second reseller, but Grognard Games doesn't really seem to stock much. So if you want miniatures for this game, it's Discount or nothing, which is fine. Discount Games is an excellent reseller, so I highly encourage people to support them, since you can't support your local hobby store to get these.
No, for sure.
So, yeah. And aside
from the one you have right now, you got at Adepticon last year, right?
Yeah.
Or well, this year, but
early 2018. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I went back to the table to get other models a little bit later on in the con once I knew what my financial situation was, and they were all sold out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So otherwise I would have a couple more models. Which would probably be good, because that would make buying in a little cheaper now. Because I'd have more of what I needed, you know?
That's true.
It's a lovely model. And probably the first time I've worked on something this size that wasn't like a warjack or, you know.
Something of that scale
and yeah.
that size, like that detail level for the...
Yeah, exactly.
Because you've painted Titans and other stuff, so big yeah, is yeah. not the problem. It's the scale that's different.
Yeah. And this is far more detailed than any warjack or Titan I've ever painted. Yeah. So this is going pretty well, I would say, which is always nice.
Yes.
Things have to go right for me eventually. I can't. And let's see.
You were cursing far more last night while prepping him.
Well, I've got most of the cursing last night was just my stupidity and lack of proper preparation.
Yeah, yeah. You were still cursing though.
Yes, this is a true fact. There may have been some bad words uttered from me.
But so was I too. So
that is also true, but for different reasons.
We shared the mistakes and problems.
Yeah, sometimes it just works that way. I think he's gonna look okay. All right, let's see. This week, what did I play for some games? I played some Guild Ball. Shocking surprise there. I played our buddy Chris. He was playing something. Alchemist. And I was playing My Union. It was a... actually, I played two games this week now I think about it. I don't remember what the final score was. I know I won. A good game as always with Chris. It was a kind of a casual game. We were playing on clock, but clock ran out, and we weren't really worrying too much about it, shall we say. We were keeping track of the points for activations, but we weren't really limiting ourselves to 1 minute activations.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like half clock.
Yeah, half. That's one of the suggestions I've seen do a small guild ball aparte, and. That's one of the suggestions I've seen, to not limit the 1 minute activation, still do the points, however, still work toward the global clock for events, or maybe for more casual events at least. So still a clock, still points for timing out, but it removes the rush and mistakes that's come with it.
The pressure?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that pressure cost me. Like I made a Oh, actually, not in that game. It was a different game. Sorry, my other game this week was against our buddy Steve and my fellow co-host on the Guild Ball show. And I lost 11 to 12 due to activations because I was clocked out. He was playing Rat Catchers. I was playing Man Union. And yeah, it was an excellent game. Probably the closest game I've had in a long time. And it was a lot of fun. Steve's very intense. God bless him. It's not a bad thing. Like, I didn't want to pack up my models and leave or anything, but it there's a lot of pressure in those games. You know, if Steve was an anime character, you'd see like he'd have the glowing aura of presence. You know. I think that's okay. I'll put down my model for a few minutes, let that dry. Because apparently you're supposed to do that. Yeah, I think that was pretty much it for this week. I wasn't super productive or super gamey.
You had three games this week, so it's not so...
Oh, yeah, yeah, but I was leaving the last one to you, because...
Oh yeah, we'll talk about it later, but yeah. Still, you add another game. So
yes, that's true. I went out to Saturday night as well, and we tried this little game called Judgment.
Yep.
And we'll get some details on that later.
Mm-hmm.
But as always, that was a ton of fun, because You can't beat playing Antoine.
If you say so.
And, yeah, I think that's pretty much it for me. Yeah, I don't think there's anything else on the gaming front, or the hobby front. Unless you count me spontaneously making and painting She-Ra armor for my 4-year-old daughter.
That's hobby.
Yeah, well, I used my airbrush, because I need some gold paint quickly. Some scrap cardboard, some primer, and gold paint. She's so funny. Like all small children, right? They get an idea in their head, and they can't let go. And she was searching the house looking for stuff she could wear as armor. So, because she needed bracers, and what she'd found was elastic bands, or hair elastics actually, that she'd put around her arms.
Oh.
Yeah, and her legs to make greaves and bracers. I'm like, yeah, you know, blood needs to circulate. Let's change that up a little bit. Through the magic of arts and crafts and gold paint, I made her some armor. I gotta expand on it though. She needs more pieces. She has bracers now, but she needs she needs some greaves, and she needs a tiara. You know, She-Ra tiara. She's not satisfied. She wants a She-Ra costume, but they don't really make one for old-style She-Ra, because that's what she likes. She likes the 80s She-Ra, not the new one. So I was looking today under my lunch break. I was on Amazon looking for little tennis dresses, because they have the skirt.
Because
she has to have the little mini skirt, right? But, of course, little girls in little skirts, that, you know, you're going to be flashing panties all the time. So I was looking for the skirts, and I realized that tennis players wear those, but it's tough to find for a 4-year-old, apparently. Apparently, there's a lot of 4-year-old tennis players. So.
That's all specific right. 4-year-old in his gear.
Yeah. Yeah. Contact him. Contact the reseller. Do you have this my size? I'm looking to make a She-Ra costume. Like, what? Long story. So, yeah. All right. So, that's my hobby, Antoine. You're up. Top that.
I've gamed less than you. The only game I had was a game we had of Judgment. I was planning to go out, but the timing didn't work out for the other evenings. So I stayed home and painted, which was good because I was working commission and needed those to be done. So speaking of commission, the two models I've been able to complete last week were the Hawker Typhoon and the V1 Flying Bomb by 3D Wargaming. It's two more of the models that are on his Planes Kickstarter running right now. And they were the last two I needed to do. So commissions are done. Those two made me work on my masking skills, and also realize that my masking material was subpar. So that's something I need to equip better next time I work on tanks and anything that need masking.
Well, they came out really nicely.
Yeah, I'm happy with the result. It could have been easier. Or especially the Typhoon. Like, the other planes and the two rockets, missiles, I'm a lot more happy with the color modulation on them and the shading. But the camo of the Hawker, I had to redo a lot of it by hand, and that lost a big part of the modulation on it. So it looks more flat compared to the other. It's clean, but it's not...
It's not what you wanted?
Yeah, no, it doesn't look as good as the other ones. The rest of the freehand on it, I'm happy with. There was a lot of it, because I didn't have stencil for the right size letters and all the markings. So it was mostly freehand, but it went well. But the camo part on the hull and the wings, I would have been happy with a better result for that. But it still looks good. And the small flying missile was a bit easier to do. And I had not broken my teeth. I don't think the expression makes sense in English.
Cut your teeth.
Cut your teeth, yeah.
This expression.
I had cut my teeth on the typhoon, so the flying bomb was a lot easier to do. And it looks better, too. But, well, it's a lot simpler as a model and as a color scheme. But color motivation-wise, it's a lot better. So, with those finished last night, I'm back to the Too Manifold model I started to work on during the last recording. Nino and Santiago. They were both the color blocks, so it's mostly doing a quick highlight job, some shading, and get them to the same level as the other I have already done, and make them playable. Nothing too advanced. A good tabletop plus level.
So you can get some more Malifaux under your belt?
Yeah, well, also, to get them done, last year, by the end of the year, I did like a tally of everything I had that was started but not done.
Oof, that's always dangerous.
Yeah, and I didn't count anything that was assembled. Just what had already paint on it but was not finished. So a bit like your shelf of shame or closet of shame where you have all your model not painted or model assembled but not worked on. So mine is a work in progress table, project table of shame. So it's just what started, and I made a list and tried to challenge myself to get. I wanted to have a one-on-one, one-for-one result, like paint one new model and finish one of the those old ones to get them advanced and clear out everything that was staying on the table for no reason. I've not been able to do the one-for-one at all, but at least I'm making some progress on that list.
Well, the one-for-one's pretty ambitious.
Yeah. And I think I could do it, but I probably don't have enough interest because there's a bunch of stuff in that I'm in no mood to play. So if I'm in no mood to play it, I'm not really in the mood to paint it. So
yeah, that's the downside of our system usually.
I still made a small dent in that list, and a bigger dent than I thought I would be doing even mid-year. So
yeah, I did really well at the end of last year, and this year so far I've not been doing great on my painting. I just haven't had time and or motivation, and it's hurting my numbers is all I can say.
But you've also been painting a lot of Guild Ball, which you paint at a higher level than other games. So it slows you down, too.
There is that. That's not wrong.
Like, getting 40k units out is a lot faster than painting a Blood Bowl team. Because we don't paint... Guild Ball team. Because we don't paint them at the same level.
These are valid points.
So I'm sure that didn't help you. And the kids, the job. You had other reason to not be able to be as productive.
Again, more valid points.
Yeah. For me, I was surprised. I've been a lot more productive than I thought I would be. That, like, just this month. I run a tally for my blog of everything that's painted or when it's done, what was coated terrain. And for the month of November, I'm at 15 models. But I'm also at 45 models for the year. So I painted a third of this year's model in the last 25 days.
Yeah, someone's overachieving.
Yeah. Well, what is happening? It's I'm taking back the lag.
You're catching up?
Yeah, I'm catching up. Exactly. I'm catching up for...
You're making up for lost time.
All of the time I had while sculpting or working on events or just painting stuff really slowly. So I might be able to hit my one model per week painted
target
challenge. Yeah, self-appointed target for the year. Which just last month didn't seem possible.
Yeah, I don't think I've done that this year. Which is kind of odd for me.
Yeah, because usually you have a pretty high number. But you paint a bunch of War Machine at the start of the year?
I can't remember if that was end of last year. I think it was start of this year, yeah. So I painted a whole Mercs army. You know what? Never mind. I take it back. I've probably done over 100 models this year.
Yeah, you went really crazy with your Mercs.
Yeah, that's true. I painted a lot of Mercs in the beginning of the year after Christmas. Plus, I painted Dan's armies.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why you switched to Guild Ball at that point.
Because I'd burnt out.
Yeah, you burnt out.
And then Guild Ball, I painted the Union, which is like, I don't know, 16 or 17 models.
Yeah.
And then the Church models for that, which are another 4 or 5 on top, so it's like 20. And then the fish is 20. Yeah, so it's another 25-ish models, let's say. Okay, never mind. I take it all back. I've painted a ton of stuff this year. Never mind. It just doesn't seem like a ton of stuff. Now I'm thinking about it. Like, oh, yeah. Well, a whole Grimkin army.
Yeah.
And I painted at least 3 units of 10 guys there. Plus beasts, plus solos. So that must have been 40 or 45 models. And Lord knows how many Mercs I painted. So I've got to be well over 100 figures so far this year. Which is still nothing compared to some people, but it's not as bad as I thought.
And you were calling me the overachiever.
I forgot. Excuse me as I dig for paints that I think I probably own but can't find.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm painting those Malifaux models. After that, I will probably try to paint Veteran Gutter and Fillet for Gilbo. To have them painted for a small...
hearing you say fillet tournament hurts me.
Oh, fillet. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, fillet.
You're French. Be proud.
Yeah, paint those two for our casual event at the end of December, I think.
Yeah, it's at the end of December.
Yeah. And after that, it will probably be some aerial.
Hold on. I'm just pointing out that you said casual, but this thing is taking place at Steve's house. So yeah,
I'm painting those, but I'll probably be playing my Masons. So I will be doing that casually. I'm not going there with a beating face goal.
Yeah, I'm still going to be playing my Union because I can't get anything else ready. My blacksmith won't be ready in time.
You have your order, you have your fish. If you wanted to play something else, you could.
Yeah.
But there's the want part there. Are you feeling to like playing those? Maybe not.
Am I feeling fishy? I had to.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe the navigators will be here by that point, and I might play them. If they're here and I have at least a week in front of me, I'll try to get them at least to a playable level and play those.
Yeah, I have to admit I've been feeling the call of the fish. I'm resisting thus far.
The siren call?
Oh, clever. For those who don't know, they have a player named Siren. Hey, we're talking about Guild Ball again. How did this happen? This always happens. We should stop doing that. Steve's going to be very
upset. I was just painting a talking about Obi. what I'm going to paint next. So
yeah. I'll just say I'm thinking about going back to my original team.
Mm-hmm.
Just for a change for a little bit. Okay, carry on, Antoine.
Yeah. Well, it's mostly I will change idea by that point. My list can't be too long because I know I'll switch eventually. But in front of me, yeah, a couple of Gilbar model, finish those two Malifaux one, an Ariel, and maybe Roots of Magic.
Oh, Roots of Magic is such a good little game.
Like it's 2 mil max perfection, so it's not like I need to paint a lot to get to a playable level. Just painting 3 more models would get me enough to play with somebody else and provide everything. So it's not like I need much.
Yeah, cause we played a demo game of that, just 1v1, and I was so skeptical that a 1v1 game could be any kind of fun, and I'm happy to say I was wrong.
Yeah, and adding the apprentice is fun too. Apprentices, so
yeah.
So the models are cool. That's one. I only have one model painted for that game, and it's one of the apprentices from the one for Ausmirk, the Fear House.
I
really like the master for that house, so that's probably what I'll paint next.
On an unrelated note,
yeah,
I downloaded the beta rules for a new game. Not that I can remember what it's called. From Osprey, it's a starship battle game.
Okay.
Like Frostgrave, it uses any miniatures
mm-hmm.
you have access to. It's supposed to come out in 2020, I believe, is their goal. So I was pretty excited because I have a bunch of Firestorm Armada stuff.
Yeah, I have some too.
And now to be honest, the Firestorm Armada rules never really did much for me. They weren't bad by any means, and for Firestorm Armada fans, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I just didn't care for them. And the idea of building starships, I don't know anything about this Osprey game yet. I haven't read the rules. But I used to play a game called Starmada, which is kind of a generic rule set where you can use anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it had ship construction rules, which you had to put guidelines on because they're horrible in the sense that they're easy to abuse.
Yeah.
But they made the game a lot of fun. Well, that's only because I have jerk friends.
Mm. I've not seen many games where you build your own stuff that were not broke.
Well, so it was broken for different... I mean, there's always like an ability that's like, what? You know, in every game, whether it's build your own or not, there's always something that's not quite balanced, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
those seem to be more breakable.
If you're in the mood, anything that's got a point value system, whether it's an RPG or, in this case, a miniature game, you can do some really wonky things if you don't let common sense take some control.
Yeah.
So, for example, we've been playing games, and it was like a constant, action-reaction scenario where we would play a game, and my friend would do something broken, so I'd develop a countermeasure. And then he would do something else broken, and I'd develop a countermeasure. And then eventually he did something so broken that there was no way for me to fix it. And what he did was he decided that he would build ships with super long-range weapons, so he could shoot me from the other side of the map without actually advancing. And in order to fit those weapons on the ship, they take space in the construction rules.
Mm-hmm.
But he built the ships with no crew quarters, no hyperdrives, the slowest engine possible, all to save space so he could put the longest range, biggest gun possible on mm-hmm. it. And then he built aircraft carriers that had a bajillion fighters that he would launch. But they had no hyperspace and nothing else, and no weapons, and no life support. So he would suicide like them into your ships.
Yeah.
So not only did you have these... Oh, that's a mess. These crazy long-range weapons shooting at you, you had aircraft carriers, like carrier fleets flying into you, ramming your ships. It made for a super fun game. It was so fun. And I was teasing him about it the other day. And he was like, you just didn't like my superior strategy. Like, and then I'm like, you know, you killed all your people. To try. And he was like, they're honored to die in my name. Typical gamer, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness. Simpler times.
Yeah, but that's about it. That's all I did, working on the 3D Wargaming stuff. Slowly planning what I'm going to paint next. A lot of that is also looking at what I want to play at Adepticon and prepping for that. Like I did for Captain Con earlier this year. I rush painted a lot of stuff just to get it playable for the convention.
Yeah.
I'm working on the same thing. Some people have mentioned...
Try and do it again.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Some people have mentioned maybe wanted to try Pulp City. But I only have one crew painted, so I might paint a second crew for that. There's the aerial that I need to paint to play with Nick from Skirmish Supremacy. Maybe some Roots of Magic for that. Maybe finish my Relic Knight. So... And that's on top of some terrain that I would like to bring. So there's always more projects.
Yeah, we never seem to be lacking stuff to paint, right?
Oh, no, for sure.
Funny how that works.
Oh, and there's Moonstone when it eventually shows.
I don't know what that is.
You say that every time we talk about it.
That also does not surprise me.
If you remember the last week, I was commenting on it. That's when you heard I said / misspoke furries instead of fairies.
Okay, I remember that.
Yeah, so that was talking about Moonstone.
Excellent. I still don't remember anything about the game.
Yeah, it's a fantasy skirmish games by Goblin King Game Company in the UK. It's really whimsical, looked more cartoony. And I traded some of my Gilbald for that.
Right. And I think last week I looked up the models and went, oh yeah, that game!
Yeah, because we spoke about it in the news show during their two Kickstarters, so...
I have such a bad memory for all these things.
There's so many.
It goes hand in hand with the way I can't remember rules ever for a game. Like, I've probably played 300 games of Guild Ball now, and I still don't remember the rules for stuff.
Yeah. Make space for other stuff.
Yep. I can't wait for cybernetic implants to come so I can just have a new brain put in and instantly remember rules and... have infinite storage space for stuff, as opposed to always relying on you. There's nothing worse than demoing a game to someone and being like, oh crap, I don't know how this works, let me call Antoine. How did you play this board? Oh yeah, all the time. Okay, you don't know what the rule is? Nope, not a clue. That is my way.
Mm-hmm. I think that covers most of our recent gaming and painting.
Yeah.
Well, with the exception near future of painting. Yeah.
With the exception of Judgment, which we gave a try to. Do you want to go into that now, or do you want to save that for a bit later? Something else you want to talk about?
No, I think we're good to go for that.
Okay, so we tried Judgment. We liked it a lot. See you next week, guys. No. So, Judgment. I guess let's talk about it. So, let's describe it, I should say. Yeah. So, it is a tabletop skirmish game. 54 millimeters, so extremely large models by most game standards. It is...
Really low model count.
Yeah, you play 5 models a side at the full-size game. Though it is very good at 3 models a side, which is what we played. And it is inspired by MOBA computer games, so League of Legends, Defense of the Ancients, Heroes of the Storm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it incorporates a lot of those mechanics that we find commonly in those games into the tabletop miniatures game. And it does it in a very convincing and, I would say, well-thought-out manner. It really had that MOBA feel, I found. Now, I don't think you've ever played MOBAs. Have you, Antoine?
Nope. I watched a bit of one. Rules of the Storm, I think it's named, the Blizzard one.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Okay, so...
I know the concept a bit, but I've never played one.
I mean, there are some key changes. There were no lanes like there are in video game MOBAs.
Mm-hmm.
So you have kind of free reign to go do whatever you want. And it's... they had... If you listen to the creator talk, he kind of had two phases of the MOBA game he wanted to focus on in his miniature game. One was the hero-to-hero combat, which is the vast majority of the game, of Judgment. And the other thing he wanted to focus on was what they call the jungling phase. And jungling in MOBAs is when you kind of go into the jungle on the map, and you look for NPCs to kill to level up or gain loot. And that's represented, of course, by a monster in Judgment that's controlled by an AI. Well, in a sense, it's got a set of rules for how it governs its movement and its reaction to stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of where to go to next. So, I guess we'll start at the very beginning. So we did a simple draft where we rolled off and then we alternated picking models from the pool. We used their print and play kit.
The print and play provide the cards, the paper dolls, the rules, everything you need. The only thing that you won't really be able to get that way are the dice, because they are custom dice. But there's a chart available to use normal D6s. It's just less intuitive when playing.
Yeah, it slows things down for the first couple rounds until you realize what it is, right?
Yeah. But outside of that, the only thing, you won't have the real one, but the maps. But you could print it out on a 2x2, so you would need multiple sheets, but that's doable. Or, like we did, we used something else and just approximated terrain on ours.
Yeah, it came out really well, yeah. I think. Really kudos to you, Antoine, for setting up that demo and doing all that hard work so I could try the game.
Yeah, I went a bit all out.
You did. That is why I risked wife aggro to make sure I was there, because you'd worked so hard on putting it together.
Just when you came in, I had scissors cutting out other of my silicone terrain to fit the size of the terrain pieces on the map.
Yeah, no, you went a wee bit crazy, but it was appreciated. If nothing else,
yeah. If people want to see it, we have it on our Facebook page. For the podcast, we have pictures shared there. Or on Twitter, I think it's on my personal page. So, @Eltonio Berg. But you'll have the link on the website if you need it. But we have we shared the pictures of the board and then the end state. So you'll be able to see what it looks like, too, that way.
Yeah, it was... So we did an alternating draft. We did three heroes versus three heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Heroes are categorized by like kind of a character class.
Yes. Right? Well, they're even called class in the rules. So.
Yeah. So it was. And they felt like their classes, right? Like.
Yes.
You know, the tanky guys felt like tanks. The damage dealers were glass cannons for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had kind of like the. Pardon me, the support characters. Yeah, the support characters and stuff, which were exactly that. I thought that was well done. I mean, gameplay, you take turns activating models.
You have action points. You have a large list of actions you can take. The basics of which were advancing, charging, attacking. But after that, you have more crazy stuff like you mentioned recall, which is, I think, your regular MOBA.
Yeah, teleporting term. Basically to your home base.
So you can recall it to your effigy for a couple of your action points. So you can just teleport back to your base.
And it's important to do that because it lets you do a couple of things. One, at your base, you can shop for gear like you can in a MOBA.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a store there, and you spend some resources to buy gear. And you can also bank souls. So one of the things about this game is that you're collecting souls. Souls are the most effective way to damage your opponent's effigy, which is like their home base.
And that's the goal of the game.
And that's the goal of the game. That's how you determine the victor. So,
and banking the souls makes it not retrievable by the opponent. Once it's in the effigy, it stays there. But if it's on your character and the character dies, yeah, you lose that soul. So,
yeah, and that's really bad because then the opponent's effigy heals up.
Yep.
So then you have to, you're back, not square one necessarily, but it certainly slows down your progress.
Mm-hmm. It does. And there's the list of action goes on. You can heal and much more. Or harvest a soul, which is something you can do because there's a couple of ways you can get your souls. It's either by killing the opposing characters, or there are soul pits on the maps, which spawn unbound wild souls on the board. And both players try to gather those before the opponent to destroy the effigy and bring it back to your base. And some of the characters are even affected by having souls. Some of them work yep. better when they have souls on them.
Yeah, exactly. My one of my characters, for every soul on her, her basic damage went up a point.
Yeah, same thing. The Krull, the soul gazer I had, did the same thing.
So you really wanted her to have souls.
At least one.
Yeah.
Maybe not more than that, because if she dies, that's so much resource you've put there that's lost.
Yeah, no, for sure. So there's a lot of like thought and planning on how you're going to do stuff to make sure you don't unintentionally screw yourself over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, what did you think?
I like the game. It reminds me of a mix between Roots of Magic, which we mentioned just earlier in the show, and Guild Ball. Guild Ball, mainly in the way the rules are written and some of the mechanics work, and Roots of the Magic in the feeling of the really small arena, having the central objective. As I have not played any other MOBAs, that's the closest I can think of. Or Aristea, too. The Infinity themed sci-fi kind of MOBA.
And Aristea is essentially a MOBA, too, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It has a similar feel.
Yeah, I haven't tried it, so I don't have much in the way of opinion on Aristea. But I've heard good things.
Yeah. I really liked it when I tried it. So, and but back to Judgment, I liked it. I see the possibility. There is a lot of character. There are a lot of characters. And I think a big part of the game will be building your Warben to get workable synergies, depending on your opponent picks and depending on the terrain. If there's a lot of terrain, you might want somebody, one of the elves, because they are pathfinders. Or, we went with mixed Warben, a bit of everything, a defender, an aggressor, and a soul gazer. But maybe trying an all-out aggressor list or more range support stuff with soul gazers and supporters, maybe. I don't know. There's it's a tough, ton it's of tough options. To say
because we played one game, right?
Yeah.
So for a game that's that deep.
Yeah, and we picked character based on look more than anything else.
Is there any other way to pick characters? I mean, technically there might be, but I think you're probably doing it wrong if you're doing it that way.
So the game seems really deep. You seem to have a lot of options. The format of the miniatures is also interesting hobby-wise. I'll be getting one at least just to for the challenge of painting and have one of the models if we push further on and try to get into the game more. But the painting challenge of a 54-meter, I haven't painted something else than... the biggest scale I painted was 32 or 35, depending on the game. But like regular scale.
Miniatures, yeah.
Yeah. Everything else that I painted scale-wise was smaller. It was Fleet Stuff, War Master, 15mm, 10, and it goes down. But never something bigger. So it will be a change.
I have to say, it's an interesting... It's an interesting feeling.
Yeah, because you're working on that right now.
Yep, and I've never painted anything like this before either. And what's neat is because there's no necessarily common theme between the models. You can really be flexible in how you paint them. Like you don't have to worry about maintaining a color scheme for an army, because every model's independent.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's a big deal. People will be like, well, you can do that with any game because it's your models. Do what you want. But then while that's true, generally speaking, that's not what people do, right?
Yeah, and most of the time, models have at least a similarities in their look. I'm like Guild Ball guilds. Most of the model, maybe except Union, and even Union, have a team visually.
Absolutely.
So you could paint your masons in all different colors, but it might look strange. However, with something like Aristea or Judgment, the model are completely separate. And when you build your team, you're going to draft from your pool anyway. So they don't necessarily go together. And they have no coherent factions. So you can just go wild.
Yeah, I mean, they have races, so human, minotaur,
orcs, elves,
and elves,
dwarves.
Oh, and dwarves, yeah.
And I think there's an elfing or a gnome. I don't remember which one.
They might be part of the dwarf faction.
Yeah, maybe.
Just like the Etten is part of the orc faction, right?
Oh, yeah, Econs has orc, yeah.
Yeah, so.
But they're not... They're more just races than factions, and you don't need to respect the race.
Exactly.
Anyway, so. They're more flavor than anything. One of the things that some people might like that I'm less fond of is the game is based like on different portals, different realms, or time period that models are drawn, champions are drawn from.
Right.
And brought to the arena or the judgment arena. And so most of the models from I think all the models from the first wave, which were the stuff we were playing with, are fantasy inspired. But the stuff from wave two, there's some of the World War 1/2 inspired. So... Or sci-fi. So you have a Rambo elves, or kind of a makes me think of a Doom Minotaur with the buzz sign, the blunderbuss.
Yeah, that's kind of that's just weird. Because he has like multiple aesthetics on the same model because of his equipment,
mm-hmm.
And that strikes me as odd.
There's a dwarf with a tank.
Yeah, but he's pretty awesome looking, so I'll give him a pass.
Yeah, you can. I find it strange. Like, there's one of the models I like the pose of, but there's a elf monk.
Oh, the Neo wannabe.
Yeah, but he has a futuristic glasses and like combat boots, and his staff is more of a cybernetic staff. So
yeah,
I like the pose, and I even like the rule of the model. But if I was going to use him, I would probably heavily convert him to bring him down to more of a fantasy style.
Yeah. And I have to admit, the models I'm drawn to are more the fantasy style ones than the sci-fi ones. With the exception of maybe Dwarf Tank Dude. I ain't gonna lie. That model will be in my collection if I pull the trigger.
And we're seeing if the I think the game is interesting. I will play more of it with the print and play while we are testing it out. The main drawback is the price. Those are 54 millimeter scale. Well, 54 millimeter miniatures, so they're bigger, and with it the price goes up. So you're expecting what, around $50 US?
Yep, that's right.
Per model, which itself makes sense for a nubby piece or even for a big guy for another game. But that's your main dude. And with the draft format, you need more model than what you usually need to play. So on your regular game size is 5. So in theory, you need 7 models at $50 each. It makes for a pretty costly start for a skirmish game.
Yeah. And it's important to note that we're not saying the models are overpriced.
Oh, no, no. I think the price is right on for the models. It's just
it's a daunting price point.
Yeah. Right? The price point is daunting because of the, like most other small count skirmish games are pretty cheap to get into, but they're also 28 to 32 millimeters.
Yeah.
So it's really what stopped me from getting into the first, the two Kickstarters I've run before. And now that I've tried the rules, I'm more interested in it, but still, it's a barrier of entry.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I suppose it's nice as a group. You don't necessarily need to have, not if you're going to play, you know, in your group, you don't all need to have models.
Mm-hmm.
There's that, which is nice, right?
You can make
a common pool.
Yeah, a common pool for your draft instead of doing a separate pick. There's a multiple way to choose your model for the game. So, with a common pool, that way you can share. But you also need to have people in your group that don't mind sharing their miniatures.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think if you're sharing models, you're probably a fairly close-knit group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And if you won't trust your friends with your models, then you need to find better friends. just my two cents. I'm sure that'll offend someone. I would say I'm sorry, but that wouldn't be really honest of me. I don't tend to worry about things like that. And in our group, it's easy, right? You guys all paint better than I do. So if anyone should be worried, it's you guys, not me. Oh, that's true.
But I've never had problem sharing my miniatures. Like my Guild Ball, my butchers, I painted to a pretty high level. I use them for demos. So
yeah, well, I think it's a matter of how people treat stuff, right? And right off, someone's not taking proper care of your stuff. You see it in the first 5 minutes, and then you just mental note: never going to happen again. Yeah. It's that easy. My Minotaur is coming along swimmingly. I'm quite happy. I have switched to the slather and GW wash technique. This is definitely speeding up the painting process. Yeah, it's actually not fair. I'm just I'm slathering some wash on some metallics to kind of blend some colors together. Because I layered some different types of gold. And, I want to kind of smooth out that layering.
So it's more like glaze.
Yes, this is 100% true.
Once again, glazing ball.
I know, it's weird. I feel dirty. yeah, not as dirty as when I'm alone with you, but...
yeah.
Sorry, had to be said. No, I think... The other problem is that because I've been using some washes to... some inks and stuff to build some depth in the shadows, he's got some super glossy points. So I'll have to matte varnish the heck out of him.
Yeah. I did that for the Malifaux models I'm working on right now. They were color blocked and heavily washed just to have them playable for a game. And I satin varnished them after that. So they... most of the shadows and the depth are super shiny, but not the top where I'm highlighting.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I got going on. It's like, wow, it looks kind of weird.
It looks really weird.
Yep, we are simpatico, Antoine.
Yes. Yeah, but Judgment. I liked it. Yeah. I liked it enough to want to try it again, for sure.
Yeah, I also really liked it. I think they've really captured that MOBA feel. The fact that your models advance in levels as you're playing, the buying gear, the dying and respawning, and the fact that when you respawn, you have one less action that turn, so you're kind of like a recovery sickness or revival sickness or whatever. No, I think they've done an amazing job. The models are gorgeous. I am going to invest in a lot of models, and it's a large sum of money just because in Canada our exchange rate's so poor. A Judgment model is going to cost more like $65, $65 to $70 Canadian per model.
Yeah.
So if you're talking 10 models, it's a $700 investment. So I'm actually going to sell off some of my other miniatures to offset that cost a bit. And make myself a little Christmas present. I've got whole armies for War Machine that I'm never going to play. So, like, I don't know why I keep buying for them. I haven't played War Machine in 6 months.
It's not like you only have one army for it.
But that's just it, right? I've got every War Machine army, I think. Well, no, I don't have...
I think we counted six or seven last time, so...
Yeah, well, I've got Signar, Kador, Menoth, Mercs, and then Legion and Circle. So yeah, six armies.
And don't you have some Crocodiles too, or just random miniatures?
Actually, just random miniatures. Actually, the Dracodile is one of the things I'm selling because it's never going to get assembled. And I bought it because I like the model, but I'm not going to buy a whole army just to paint, just to play that one model. It doesn't make sense. I mean, that was my original plan, but
yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because you wanted to buy the new starter box for it, or
faction I looked box. At it, yeah. That was going to be a cost-effective way to start and make use of that model I bought, but it just doesn't make sense. At some point, a cooler head has to prevail and realize I'm being insane. So,
there's other miniatures from other games you need to try.
Yeah, that's true. So many miniatures, Antoine.
Yep.
You are a bad influence on me. Just throwing that out there. I don't want to say you bring out the worst in me, because that's not exactly what I mean, but you certainly bring out the worst in my spending habits.
Sure. I'll take the blame. That's fine.
Yeah, darn right you will.
If you need a scapegoat to listen to low on your mental, that's fine.
I need someone to blame when my wife finds out.
Yeah.
It's all Antoine's fault. Have mercy. No, I'm lucky. She's we have a don't ask, don't tell rule here. Well, that paint is not doing so well. So my Vallejo air is kind of badly separated.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I think I left my paints out in the cold and they froze. Because I've got a bunch of paints that just went weird on me.
And all at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's usually an indicator you've done something wrong.
Yeah. If pro tip. In the car, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pro tip.
Yeah. Up here. You don't want to do that.
I mean, when it was...
seasons start to turn.
It was early in the season, so it's not like it was... you know, minus 40 out or anything.
No, but still.
Yeah, exactly. But still.
Yeah, and we had pretty cold temperatures anormally early, so.
Yep. Mistakes were made.
Yes. So. Now we need to find other people to try judgment with us. And we need to play it more. Like last time, we hadn't even looked at the what model did. But since I've looked at some of the character rules and I have a better idea of how the game works. So.
Oh, you mean before we started playing?
Yeah. Okay. When we started playing,
we looked at what the character did.
But we didn't plan or draft based on the knowledge of their power and stuff like that. That's what I meant.
Well, what type of power gamer do you think I am? I assure you, I have never based my army choice or any game off of how good that army was. I have the track record to prove it.
I have not either, but still. So, that's right. Anything else you want to say about Judgment? Oh, one of the reasons we did try it and got back interest in it was we both registered for it for the event at Adepticon.
Yeah, and a misunderstanding of sorts where we thought it was a models provided, no experience necessary type event. I think it is a no experience necessary event. But having models would definitely be a good thing.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Like, kind of expecting either to have model previously or get at least a starter to have a base to work on.
I'm trying to remember who comes in the starter. I know it's Rick here. Oh, it's the other human wizard.
Bastion?
Maybe that's his name?
Something like that.
The guy with the crystals growing out of his shoulder.
Yeah, the healer.
Oh, is he a healer?
Yeah. He's a pure support model.
Oh, I had no idea. I mean, my Soul Gazer was healing in my game.
Mm-hmm.
She had a passive healing ability. Yeah, make me want to play Antoine.
Yeah, me too. If we are able to, I would like to have another game this week. If it works out.
Well, I guess we'll just have to make it work out, buddy.
Yeah. So, that's Judgment.
Yeah, we didn't really go into much detail, but I mean, there's only so much we can do in an audio podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, for people who are curious about gameplay, I will say that Beasts of War, I think they're now known as On Tabletop, have a very good turn breakdown video with the creator of the game, or one of the creators. And then they have a Let's Play video where they play a 3v3 game, like all the way through. And that's also very well done. I found those super informative.
And they are pretty recent, so they are using the most updated rules.
Yeah, they're within the last 4 months, so yeah, that was definitely worth checking out. All right, now I'm done.
So before we close the show and say goodbye to you, dear listeners, there's a couple of news item I want to mention. First one... by Metal King Studio. They are running right now their fourth Relic Blade Kickstarter, this one called the Moldorf Expedition and Others. So it's two new warbands, or how do we call them? Is it warband? Faction sets for the game. Dwarves, the Moldorf dwarves, and the Lustwood Enclave, which is the second one, which are kind of a three spirit bears, elves, tree folks. And also the Volgelands book, which is kind of a campaign setting. So this one really goes in depth about the fluff, more in depth about the fluff of the universe. There's a linear campaign setting for it, like a campaign maps. There's more scenarios. Looks really, really good. The Kickstarter, you can pick and choose. You can get the book. You can get the either of the faction sets. But they also have a big, what they call the Kickstarter recommended level, which is a bold adventurer for $85 US. You get both faction and the book. And also the Volgeland exclusive miniature, which is an alternate dark Crusader. I'm blinking on the name, but one of the kind of a dark knight that works for the bad factions.
Batman?
No, not bad faction. The guy with the skull faces. So it's a character one. Everything looks good. All artwork, rules, sculpting, all done by Sean Sutter of Metal King Studio, One Man Army, doing incredible work for the game.
Well, the game is well put together.
Yeah.
I know I haven't had a chance to try it, but I read the rules back when it launched, and it seems so dynamic and fun. Yeah. And I know you and Yom tried the game out, and you both quite liked it.
I played, I think, two or three games. One with Yom, one with Papa Guillaume, and I don't remember where I played the third one.
Too many Guillaumes in our group.
Yeah. So. Yes. So, and it was fun. I even started working on a French translation of it, but it's a lot of work. There's a lot of characters. Because it would be, I think, a perfect match with the basic miniatures to play with the kids, with how the cards are designed. Like, all your abilities are marked with the die face. That's your minimum requirement to hit. So if there's a sword attack, well, you have a dice with four pips showing. It means that you need that, or five or six, and that's it. So it's super visual, easy to read for kids. Not a lot of abilities right there on the card. Simple.
Yeah, I remember we had talked about that actually when they launched it.
Yeah.
About how it was well put together for kids to kind of learn and play.
And made time for us. Since then, there's been two other Kickstarters since the first time we talked about it. There's multiple campaigns, a lot of faction sets have came out since then, so a lot of choice. It's really interesting. For this one, so the Kickstarter launched, I think a week ago, something like that. By the time we release, they will have just over a week left to go. They already surpassed their funding level by almost double. So they are in the stretch goal galore, and it will just continue that way.
Yeah, I like it when small companies succeed in this hobby. It's tough.
Yeah.
There's so many, like, there's one 800-pound gorilla, and then there's a couple other big companies, and everyone else is kind of gets left with the dregs, right? So it's nice we see an innovative game able to do something and get support from the community and you know, develop into something bigger, better.
The other item I want to talk about is not a crowdfunding campaign. It's a really regular release, and it's already out. This one by Gribo Games is the P P-Orc or Pork? P-Orc team. This,
you know, I didn't realize that was Grebo.
Yeah, it is.
I should have known.
This is a Blood Bowl team proxies of pigs. So all type of pigs, armored pigs, light pigs, giant armored boars, everything you need to play Blood Bowl or use as miniatures for a bunch of other projects if you want. They're cute pigs in armor, so they can be used elsewhere too.
They look amazing. He really outdid himself, I think.
Oh, yes.
I mean, he's always in good stuff, and you know he's got a bajillion Blood Bowl count as teams out there or whatever, but this really kind of took the cake in my mind.
Yeah. Like, what I prefer from Grebo are the small rabbits, side rabbits that are in each other and all the other projects. Like the cute stuff that's not the main goal, but this time it's a team full of those cute animals. Well, cute-ish. The big boars are not really cute, but the small piglets, small piglets are. And there's multiple ways to get into it. You can get their full team, which is 23 models plus a ball. That's all your regular playable models. But you can get all of those separately. And they also have some of the support characters, like the doctor, the mage. They are not in the team pack, but you can get them outside. And they're individually, they're €5 each. They're pretty cheap. And the mage P-Orc is so cool. And the doctor with his top hat. They all look
amazing. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So you can go to GreboGames.com and get yourself some pigs. And with that, that's the news I wanted to mention.
Yeah, those pigs look so cute, people. Go and invest. Support Grebo so he keeps making cool, awesome stuff. That's what we need to do as a community. We just need to support the people who are making cool, awesome stuff. The big guys can support themselves, and, you know, it's everyone else that needs the help. I mean, you know, by all means, buy from the big guys, too, but, you know, we need someone to keep them all on their toes. And it's these small innovators that are going to do that. All right. My Minotaur is looking okay. My Metallics are looking like poop. Pretty typical for me. I'm unhappy, but it is what it is. Shading Metallics is tough. That's going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
Well, shading them and making them look good.
Yeah, especially that.
All right. Well, then, I guess that's it for this week, Antoine.
Yes, it is.
So it's been a pleasure as always, and I look forward to talking to you some more next week.
Yeah. Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Geeky Voyage, a geek and pop culture blog that explores a variety of fandoms and many pop culture favorites from film, television, music, and various other topics, with liberal doses of humor, quirky musings, and heavy fangirling thrown in. The United Geeks Network, you can broadcast your geekiness at unitedgeeksnetwork.com.